The Cincinnati Shakespeare Company is starting up its 20th anniversary season in just a few days, and we have Brian Isaac Phillips from the company to tell us all about it. And first, let me ask you, is there anything special going on with that nice round number of 20?
Well, we have a lot of very special things happening, but probably first and foremost in the 20th anniversary season, we're going to become one of only 5 theaters in the United States to complete the 38-play Shakespeare canon. So it's a major accomplishment for us as a theater, as a Shakespeare theater, and it's wonderful that it's coinciding with that 20th anniversary as well.
Could this be just long-range planning?
It actually is long-range planning. We sat down as we were getting ready to embark on our 10th anniversary season, and we said that as a Shakespeare company dedicated to the works of William Shakespeare, yes, we should be providing Romeo and Juliet and A Midsummer Night's Dream and Hamlet, but at the same time, every year, we should be also presenting one of the plays that people don't have as frequent an opportunity to see. So starting in our 10th anniversary season, we did Pericles, and we said, wouldn't it be great if we did one every year or maybe two every now and then by our 20th anniversary season, we could actually complete the canon, and long-range planning paid off.
Okay. Now, the first play for this new season is not by Shakespeare. It's Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. The name is the author is in the actual title of the play, just to make sure that we all know it's not Oliver the Musical.
That is exactly why. I think that as we've been talking about it, that's been a major question that gets asked. But this is an adaptation that is very true to the original novel and has some of the dark side of the novel, much more so than you're going to find in the musical. So it's been adapted by Neil Bartlett, and it had a fantastic production up at the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey a year ago. It's a script that relies on a company of 14 bringing this entire world to life. And there is music involved. Plot points are brought to the audience as Victorian music hall selections that sort of help intersperse between the action of the play. Mm-hmm. And every actor in the show plays about 4 or 5 roles, from their main principal role to members of the ensemble, be they Fagin's boys or the chair, the board for the workhouse. So there's a lot of variety for the acting company involved.
And that starts up in just a few days on September 6th. Another piece of classic literature is Of Mice and Men. That's the next play. And why isn't John Steinbeck's name on this one?
Well, and actually, the great thing about Of Mice and Men is that the play is written by John Steinbeck. So with Oliver Twist, you've got Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist adapted by Neil Bartlett. But with Of Mice and Men, Steinbeck actually did the adaptation himself. So it's not another author's interpretation of the original work. It is the original author's work being transformed for another medium. So, and it's a wonderful story. We did The Grapes of Wrath a couple of years ago, and this is a much more intimate Steinbeck than that one. But it's one that has the entire team very excited about returning to his work.
Okay, third play, Shakespeare, Twelfth Night, kind of a goofiness between the sexes, cross-dressing. And this is a traditional staging from Shakespeare's time.
Yes, we're going to do a Elizabethan staging of the play. 20 years ago, one of the very first Shakespeares that we produced was Twelfth Night. We did it in jeans and turtlenecks, and now 20 years later, we're very excited to actually give it more of a traditional staging. It's going to be directed by our artistic associate, Sarah Clark, who's played Viola herself in past productions, and it's going to be a lot of fun at the holidays.
Okay, that starts up on November 22nd. In January, more Shakespeare, Hamlet this time. Is this a traditional staging again?
This is, once again, a traditional staging. We have Brent Vimtrup, who played Richard II for us last year, playing Hamlet. And we have some of the best talent in Cincinnati on stage. Bruce Cromer is going to be Claudius for us. Sherman Fraser is going to be Gertrude. It's actually a signature production for us because not only will we be doing Hamlet, but sort of segueing into the next production, the exact same cast will be returning to do Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead 4 days after the close of Hamlet. So you're going to get to see the entire story of Hamlet done with our ensemble, and then you're going to see them turn it on its ear with this comic masterpiece.
So, okay, now, for this first, the initial Hamlet, I want to ask, you know, when people go to see that, it's one of the most quoted plays of all time. Do people sit in the audience and kind of mouth along with their favorite bits as the play goes on?
I think some people do. I think you also have audience members that are very aware of what's been cut or maybe what they wish you would have cut in the production. Because every Shakespeare, of course, we look at, are there passages that don't serve the way we're telling the story this time? And you'll get a lot of feedback from the audience if you cut a passage that they're particularly fond of.
You touched on this about telling the story in a different way. The next play is the Stoppard It's a comedy, of course. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Another way to look at the Hamlet story. Do you actually have to know Hamlet first to watch this play?
No, you don't have to. I think it makes it a richer evening at the theater if you do. But if you are vaguely familiar with Hamlet, the plot points will be filled in by these clownish characters that are taking us through Hamlet through the looking glass.
So it's kind of like you don't have to watch Casablanca before you watch Play It Again, Sam.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's going to start on Valentine's Day. Next up, March 28th, Shakespeare Again, Henry the Fourth, Parts 1 and 2. If I got all those numbers right.
Yes, those are correct. So last season, we produced Richard II for the first time ever. And with that production, we kicked off a 5-year history cycle where we're going to take Shakespeare's what's called the War of the Roses and over 5 years produce those history plays chronologically. And Richard II is the first chapter, and the second chapter is Henry IV. It's part one and part two. We're taking the two plays and we are condensing it into one evening so that you get the entire journey of Prince Hal as he becomes the man who will be King Henry V. You get to see that entire journey in one evening. And it's a history, but it also is the funniest of Shakespeare's history because it is the play that introduces the comic masterpiece character of Falstaff.
You say you've condensed it, and, you know, we talk about doing Hamlet. Everybody knows it. You're taking two Shakespeare plays, condensing it, which means taking out some stuff, I'm assuming just for length, if nothing else.
Correct.
Is that going to upset people?
I think it'll upset some people. I think that there's a precedent set for Henry IV being treated that way. There was a very successful production at Lincoln Center a few years back with Kevin Kline as Falstaff, and that actually condensed the two plays into one. And I personally believe that Henry IV Part 1 has a bit of a weak ending, and Henry IV Part 2 has a weaker political plot. So by putting them both together, I think you're getting what is most rich in both of those plays in one theatrical experience.
And because it is a history, I guess you're doing it in historical settings?
Correct. Yes, it'll be a historically accurate staging with sword fights and great fun.
Okay. Next play starts up on May 2nd, and this is another Shakespeare, The Two Noble Kinsmen. And I understand that people talk about Shakespeare stealing, borrowing. This is actually taken from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Correct. It comes from A Knight's Tale. And it's actually one of the disputed plays. Authorship question comes up about frequently that perhaps he co-wrote this with somebody or that his influence on the play is less than on some of his others. But for us, this will be the 38th play. This is the one that completes the canon for us. And it will be a traditional staging as well. And it's a very exciting opportunity because as we've staged each one of these lesser produced works over the last decade, we've had the opportunity to present them to an audience that's experienced them for the first time. So there's a lot of baggage that you might come into with a Romeo and Juliet if you've seen 15 productions before. But when you're experiencing this play live for the first time, it's very fresh, it's very exciting, and one of the things that we hear most frequently is, I don't understand why that play is not produced more often. And that's going to be our goal with this one as well.
Okay, we've got one more for the season. It starts on June 6th, and this is comparatively a modern work, Noel Coward's Private Lives. Now, this guy wrote a whole bunch of really funny, funny plays.
Yeah, this might very well be the perfect comedy in his canon. And we've got Jeremy Dubin and Kelly Minglecook, who are longtime company members, playing Elliot and Sybil and Amanda. And Dylan Myers, the producing artistic director at Ensemble Theater, is going to be staging it for us. And I think it's the perfect way to end the season with a laugh.
Have you made any changes to the play to present it to a modern audience?
No, absolutely not. It's actually amazing how fresh this play is so many years later. I think that he tapped into something very universal about marriage and how fun it can be and how challenging it can be and how ridiculous it can be, and that he's brought that to life so that it stands the test of time. Probably the only aspect of the play that seems dated at all is how much they smoke cigarettes.
And is that going to happen on stage?
Yeah, well, we'll be working on that.
So we've just gone through the whole 20th anniversary season of the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company with Brian Isaac Phillips. And any crazy events, any special promotions happening with the season?
Well, we actually have two special productions that are happening as well. One is our 8th annual production of Every Christmas Story Ever Told in December. It takes place 2 weeks after the close of Twelfth Night. four actors go through every Christmas story you could ever imagine in 90 minutes. And then in October, we'll be doing a co-production with Xavier University of Arthur Miller's The Crucible, which is going to be a great opportunity for the students of their theater program to work with our Equity Ensemble and for us at CSC to work in a much bigger room as well.
And you mentioned Delyn Myers coming over from her company to work with you. Is there any other cross-pollination like that throughout the season?
Yes. Michael Haney from Playhouse in the Park, who staged The Hound of the Baskervilles for us last year, is going to be staging Oliver Twist at the beginning of the season. And then Drew Frazier, who's been one of our regular directors and has been a regular in town, he will be staging Of Mice and Men for us.
Well, congratulations on 20 years, and this should be a fun season for people to see. Brian Isaac Phillips is with the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, letting us know about the 20th anniversary season. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with a remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor know.